Focus on Montana this morning, the Bundy situation, for lack of a better term, and there are some developments in that case this morning. And later on this morning, we're going to be talking about a class, not flight school, but a class on aviation for those of us who are civilians. It's going to be offered through UM Helena and the airport. We'll talk about that as well. But we begin with the Bundy clan, the arrest of the Bundy clan. They have, I believe, five of them have pleaded not guilty within the last 24 hours. And David Jenkins is the president of Conservatives for Responsible Stewardship, and he joins us on the phone this morning. Good morning, Mr. Jenkins, and welcome.
Good morning.
Where are you, first of all, so we have an approximate idea where you are, and then I'm going to find out a little bit more about your group. But where are you this morning?
Yeah, I'm based in Northern Virginia.
Aha, okay. Well, you guys are getting a lot worse weather than we've been getting this whole winter, I dare say. Tell us.
Yeah, it's kind of a roller coaster.
Oh boy, yeah. Tell us about the Conservatives for Responsible Stewardship. Who do you represent? What do you try to do?
Yeah, we're a national grassroots organization of conservatives, as the name says, very strong believers that conservation and environmental stewardship are core conservative values. They have been, if you look down through our history, from Abraham Lincoln, Theodore Roosevelt, Eisenhower, Nixon, Reagan, all have had a very strong core stewardship ethic. And we see, you know, people getting confused about that these days, and some folks trying to undermine our public lands heritage, and like the Bundys. And we're trying to fight back against that and let people know that it's really not conservative what they're doing.
All right. Give us maybe a quick recap of the whole Bundy situation for our friends who may not follow this as much, obviously, as you do. There have been some armed takeovers. There have been threats. There have been various other things. Give us the thumbnail sketch of it.
Yeah, really, a lot of this is harkening back to 2014 when law enforcement officers tried to confiscate Clive and Bundy's cattle because he had been 20 years without paying his grazing fees, and he had them grazing in places that they shouldn't be grazing. They were, you know, overgrazing the land and causing erosion, all sorts of things. And then he rallied about 400 people with guns and basically threatened and forced the federal authorities to back down. And so there was that incident. That was in Bunkerville, Nevada. And then the Obama administration went for 2 years without doing anything about it. And I think, that served to embolden these guys even further. And so then two of his sons this past January took over the Mahler National Wildlife Refuge in Oregon for 41 days. And that's finally the FBI moved in. They've made arrests in both the 2014 incident and in the refuge takeover, and there's 20 some odd people now in custody and awaiting trial on various charges from both recently and back in 2014.
So ultimately, in the Nevada situation, they waited, they went in, they got some arrests. There wasn't any violence that I'm remembering, a little bit that I'm remembering. But eventually, they got the cattle squared away. They got that situation squared away. They just took a little bit of time, and now.
Well, actually, the cattle actually are still grazing
are
illegally.
Are they still there?
Yeah, the government backed off completely and left Clive and Bundy alone for 2 years.
Okay.
And he basically forced the government to stand down with guns. And, you know, one of our concerns is, you know, threats and intimidation and armed force in a democracy is kind of the worst kind of bullying. You know, it really, really threatens sort of who we're about and what our forefathers tried to create here in this country.
So Bundy, in essence, won to some degree in the Nevada situation. I mean, if his cattle are still on the land, is anything moving forward in that to maybe remove the cattle? I mean, he's under arrest, but, is anything happening in terms of the cattle?
I think the authorities are trying to figure out how to do that and to try to do it in a way that you don't have a repeat of the situation in 2014 where there was an armed standoff. And luckily now, you've got Cliven and his sons in jail, but I'm sure not everybody that was associated with that are behind bars yet.
So there's still a possibility of something happening in Nevada, even though it's been just about two years since all of this broke.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. We complained a lot to that the Obama administration was being very weak in its law enforcement responsibilities for those 2 years, because anytime you're dealing with a bully, and I think most conservatives kind of understand this intuitively, anytime you're dealing with a bully, you can't appease them, because if you do that, if you back down and you appease them, it only emboldens them and makes them do the same kind of behavior even worse.
All right. Now, the more recent situation was a little bit closer to us. This was with his sons. Give us a thumbnail of that one.
Yeah, Ammon Bundy and Ryan Bundy, two of his sons, were part of a group of about a dozen folks who took over a wildlife refuge in Oregon, ostensibly to protest conviction and going to jail of the Hammonds, who were accused of arson. But really, you know, their main demand later on was that they wanted the government to turn over the wildlife refuge, which was one of the original wildlife refuges created by Theodore Roosevelt, turn it over to locals, people, to do with whatever they want to. They claim that, you know, they make this claim returning it to the people. The problem with that is that it belongs to the people. It's that wildlife refuge belongs to everybody, you, me, and everybody in the country. And so it's a little unclear, you know, what they wanted people to do with it when they returned it, whether they, you know, and who would benefit from that. But that was their demand until that siege came to an end. As most people know, when they drove out of the refuge to go to a meeting, and the FBI descended on them and arrested most of them.
Now, given that both sides had guns, a lot of guns, I dare say, it turned out, you know, fairly peacefully, both in Nevada and this more recent situation. Might patience not have been a virtue? In this case, you avoided the violence, or should there have been another way of handling this?
Well, certainly with the wildlife refuge situation, we believe the FBI played it correctly. They waited them out. You know, waiting someone out for 30 or 40 days to make sure that you minimize any kind of violence that occurs, that's just smart police work. The situation in Nevada was different, because all these people had went home after that standoff, and then there was just no follow-up arrest, which was a whole different situation. But certainly they handled it very well with the refuge thing, and you know, there was the one unfortunate loss of life of one of the people who took over the refuge, but other than that, you know, at least no civilians and no law enforcement personnel were injured in that.
Okay, so you think the more recent situation was handled correctly. What should they have done in Nevada then differently? Some people would say going in guns a-blazing probably would not be the best solution. What should they have done differently in Nevada that would maybe have prevented the more recent situation?
Well, in that intervening 2 years, that's quite a span of time. You would think that somewhere along the way that they would have had opportunities to pick up the perpetrators. They knew who you know, all the people involved in the Nevada affair, and have, you know, you have video and photos of the people who had law enforcement in the sights of high powered rifles. You know all these people. You know Clive and Bundy. You know his sons participated. There's countless times where they would go to town or go out of town or go different places, and they could have you know, just started rattling them up and picking them up somewhere in along those lines, and charged them with the crimes that they were guilty of. Instead, they thought that they were getting away scot-free. So if you can point guns at law enforcement officers and go for 2 years without any consequences, it's fairly logical for them to draw the conclusion that they can do it again and still once again get off without any consequences.
So you think we've had the Nevada situation, we have the more recent situation. You think there are other situations like this in our future because of the initial hesitancy in Nevada?
Well, hopefully this latest resolution of the wildlife refuge will and then the rest of the people in Nevada will be a deterrent, you know, have a deterrent effect. The one thing we're concerned about are lawmakers that have sort of embraced the Bundy ideology and the whole land transfer concept. And they're using rhetoric, crazy rhetoric to, you know, inflame passions with the people who tend to be more radicalized. And we think that's problematic in and of itself. So that would be my fear going forward, is that these people, a lot of them claim to be conservative, but they're actually, you know, radicalized. They use rhetoric like, you know, the government is, coming in like bandits in the night and taking over our land and all this stuff, when none of that's true. These are all lands that have belonged to the federal government, you know, since we had them, got them from Mexico or whoever. And they use that rhetoric to inflame passions when in reality, most people understand that this land ethic and protecting our land is something that benefits all Americans.
Now we have some folks up here in other states as well, in the legislature and other places, who are talking about getting the federal lands transferred to the states, or in some instances to the counties. Do you guys have a position on that overarching question? Should federal land be transferred, say, back to the states or back to the counties? Have you taken a position on that?
Yeah, we're vehemently opposed to that. It turns 150 years of land stewardship ethic in this country on its head. I mean, you know, going all the way back to Abraham Lincoln, Ulysses S. Grant, Theodore Roosevelt, of course, there's always been a conservative strain in this country that says, you know, we can't just let all the land be exploited for short-term gain. We have to, this is a birthright. This is part of what we should leave to our children and grandchildren. President Reagan said it great. He said, you know, this is our patrimony. This is what we leave our children, and our great moral responsibility is to leave it to them either as we found it or better than we found it. And he was talking about our public lands. So, you know, this idea that you should transfer them to state and local authorities is a self-serving concept. It's a few people who want to make short-term gain, make a quick buck off of something, and or think that they want to do what they want to. They don't want any authority telling them what they need to do, and it's a very short-sighted thing. And in our view, it's not conservative at all. It's really it's quite radical based on the history of this country.
Is there a website where we can get some more information? Because we're going to have to call this for time. But is there a website or someplace that folks can go and look and get more on your position and find out more about your group?
Yeah, they should visit our website at conservativestewards.org. And there's articles about this. We are constantly involved in the whole land transfer effort, trying to oppose that and let people know that even though, you know, these people may have a Republican label or try to call themselves conservative or patriots, that they're the exact opposite of what that really is supposed to mean.
All right. David Jenkins, the president of Conservatives for Responsible Stewardship. Again, we've got to call it for time. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you for having me.
We will take a break. When we come back, classes on airplanes and airports, adult education. You can learn about how an airport works. We'll talk about that as Focus on Montana continues.